Welcome back to another Fresh Brewed episode of Lattes and Lasers, where lattes fuel ideas and lasers bring them to life. I'm Amy Kant, and as always, I am joined by my fabulous co-host, Holly McKeag. Hey, Holly.
What's up, Amy? Here we are. Last one.
Our last episode of the season.
I hope this is not going to prove to be difficult, because already I'm getting the noises of the internet. It is what it is. It is.
It's true.
Well, you got something exciting happening today.
Yes. Oh my gosh. My new Eon. Is that how you say it? Eon?
Eon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My new Eon Mira 7 is sitting in my garage right now.
Yay.
My husband and I were like just waiting, watching our Ring cameras, because like when there's motion in the front, it pings to our phone and the Apple Watch. And as soon as we saw the UPS truck, we both ran outside. We're like, hey, dude. Yeah. Come on.
it's an exciting time when it happens.
It is. It wasn't supposed to arrive for at least another month. We lucked out and only had to wait 3 months for our laser, nice. Which is
awesome. That's really good.
As they say, 4 to 6 months, but they had a Mira 7 available from an earlier shipment and emailed us a couple weeks ago and said, hey, do you want your laser sooner? I mean, you could wait for the one that's in the Gulf of Mexico or I could get this one shipped out to you next week. And I was like, get that one shipped out to me next week.
That's nice. Hey, when it works out that way, that's always good.
Yep. So we'll be getting that set up and hopefully
mastering
start to
it. Yes.
Yeah. It's
fun
exciting
times. It is fun. It is exciting. I think you're going to be blown away.
I'm very excited to be joining the Eon family.
You know what? I cannot rave about their customer service enough. Okay. I have another machine. I'm not going to say the brand of this machine. It's not a laser, but the difference in support, not just from customer service, but the community around it is night and day. And so I feel so spoiled knowing that I can get any support I need. If it's another person in the group, if it's their team, if it's their my salesperson, I can get that support. I can't get that over there. And you don't realize how really, really great it is until you don't have that. So, I mean, I have a fiber laser coming from them, and I wasn't even going to think about any other brand. There would be no way.
Yeah. No way. The salesperson we worked with emailed me on Monday and was like, hey, your laser's coming tomorrow. And like, let me know if you need anything and all this stuff. And I was like, and then all the instructions, like, here's the unboxing and here's the this and the that. And I was like, we did not get that with the other laser we purchased. We had to figure it out on our own. So excited for all of the support and the community and to be able to do bigger things faster.
I haven't really done anything big other than I've had to buy some larger sheets of acrylic when they were out of smaller ones, which is great. But speed, just time saving. That's the thing. That's the big thing. Yeah.
Yep. So excited. Hopefully it'll be all set up by the end of the week.
Yay.
Woohoo.
All right. So Amy, it's that time.
Yes.
What are we drinking? Our final coffee of the season. What are we drinking today?
Our final coffee of the season is the Milwaukee Rockstar Blend from Anodyne Coffee Roasting Company, which is one of the roasteries that is local to me. I wanted my last pick of the season to be something local. So this blend is described as South American and dark roasted coffee coming together to form this sultry blend, a full, well-rounded body with a light acidity and smoky spice create the perfect coffee for those about to rock.
Ooh.
They're USDA certified organic, and they roast their beans in-house, and the roaster has like up to 80% fuel savings, so it reduces greenhouse gases as compared to other roasters. So that's kind of a cool sustainability thing with that company as well. So
I taste the spice. I mean, the smoke.
Yeah. Yeah, I do too.
I didn't read about it until just now. But I was sipping it thinking, what is that?
Yeah.
What is that? And that's what I taste. Yeah.
You're right. When I drank it before, I was like, there is something distinctive, but I couldn't You're right. That's what it is. It's
It
like
is.
if you get like a smoked cocktail,
Exactly.
you
That's what it
know?
reminded me of.
Yeah.
I like it. I do.
I like it.
I didn't make
It's
it.
not super sweet. It's not
No, I didn't make it
really
very
like
strong.
bitter either.
Yeah, I didn't make mine real strong because you know how I'm not good with ratios when I'm trying to make smaller amounts. And so I did the best I could.
Yeah. All right. And don't forget, you can support Lattes and Lasers by buying us a coffee. All you have to do is head to our website, lattesandlasers.com, click on support. Every little bit helps.
Yeah, and give us some ideas for the next season, like so we can start accumulating more coffee. I told Amy, I said, I'm kind of sad that I'm not going to be trying new coffees for a while.
I know because we have so much coffee now. The first few, we each bought a pound bag, and then it was like, wait, this is dumb. We should each buy half and then mail coffee to the other person. But yeah, there's a lot of coffee in my house now.
I will say I did finish off the peanut butter cup one.
Did you? Oh yeah, because you didn't get the full bag.
I know, but I made more this weekend and it was
Oh,
so
it's
good.
so good though.
Yeah, I'm gonna get some of that, I think.
Yeah, I know. It
Like
was
that
really
one. Yeah, it
good.
was.
All
Yep.
right.
So it, you can also you, everybody, you can still just keep supporting us throughout our off season too. So
Yep.
that's helpful.
Please. Thank
Please,
you.
please and thank you. So today we are tackling a topic that is often shrouded in misconceptions, and that is the word sales. It's not just about transactions and quotas. It's about forging meaningful connections, crafting exceptional experiences for your customers, and I think we're all pretty aware of that.
Yeah, and speaking of unlocking possibilities, we are thrilled to welcome a special guest who has been revolutionizing the sales landscape, and that is Lisa Praber from the Middle Six. She has over 2 decades of experience and is on a mission to change the notion that sales is a dirty word and to inspire a whole new generation of sales leaders. Hi, Lisa.
Hey, Amy, thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for being here, Lisa. We are really excited. So before we get started, we realize there has to be a little bit of a story behind your company's name. So tell us about Middle Six and how you came about that.
It's sexy, isn't it?
It's beautiful. I
I
love
love it.
it. It rolls off the tongue.
It does. Yeah. I started with a boring name like everybody does and realized that that's not marketable, and sales and marketing have to play together in the sandbox beautifully. So, the Middle Six was born from a sales concept that really says, for every 10 sales, you're going to lose two no matter what you do. You'll win two if you do your job okay, but it's what you do with the middle six that really changes the status quo.
I love it. I love it. Well, and I've also heard you say, Lisa, that it doesn't matter. Everyone is a salesperson. It doesn't matter who you are. Could you tell us a little more about that and how it could apply to makers like a lot of our listeners?
Yes, well, everyone is a salesperson, whether you like it or not, unfortunately or fortunately. You're a salesperson when you're selling your kids into picking up their toys or your spouse on where to go on vacation. Every organization is a selling organization, whether they like it or not. You're selling yourself, you're selling your goods, you're selling a service, you're selling. So I think the dirty word concept is really stemmed in people being sold things that they don't need or want. But really, I don't think any of us selling anything is trying to sell what we have to somebody who doesn't need it or want it. We're all really trying to help people with our solution, whether that is a good or a service. So make a way because I need your things.
Yes.
And we like hearing
Yes.
that.
My biggest sales tip too is if you don't ASK, you don't GET. So if you don't ask, you won't get. So you have to be comfortable asking someone to buy your products.
Yeah, I think one of the big things that I think a lot of people who try to start their own businesses, especially in the maker world, is they have a hard time talking about themselves and talking about what they have. Like, oh, I don't want to bother somebody. So, yeah, it's, I can see where that plays a part. And I've kind of gotten over that, which after a time you're like, I need the money. I need you to buy my thing. And so I'm going to talk about it. A lot of small business owners, they do get nervous, just like as I mentioned, that whole idea of just talking about their product, talking about themselves, talking about the process, et cetera. So can you help us understand a little bit more about that whole process there?
There's natural confidence. There's people that are naturally humble. There are people that are raised institutionally to not brag about themselves, to be servant leaders. So it comes easier for some people than it does for others. So one of the things that I do when I'm helping people unlock their sales potential is help them understand that everyone's different and that's okay. So
Yeah.
everybody has something that they have in their personal arsenal that makes them an awesome salesperson. And it doesn't always have to be their bright, shiny, gregarious, people-loving personality. People who hate people can also be good at sales. Because they're really good at process. So they're not dropping any balls and they're following up on time. So I think everybody really has to first become level set that you're good at sales in a different, part of what sales encompasses.
It's uncomfortable though, right? And I think
It is.
that's one of the things that people struggle with, and just trying to get more comfortable with not wanting to be like the hard sell and building those relationships. Do you have any examples of businesses who are flipping the script on those sales stereotypes and making it really about those genuine connections?
There's a lot of amazing companies out there doing that. And I actually will just use not a client of mine as an example, but just something that everybody has seen. So let's talk about Instagram for a second. And I'm not a marketer, so I'm not trying to applaud anybody's marketing efforts, but I'm going to use Rothy's as an example, the shoe company.
Yeah.
So they show up in your feed all the time. If they don't, they will now. Rothy's.
Yeah.
Is it annoying that you're getting those ads or is it helpful? So I get those ads from Rothy's all the time because I do need shoes and I don't have time for shopping. So I'm always buying online. So one of the things that I think people get uncomfortable with is the constant follow-up. So if you're thinking about the marketing and advertising world and how often you're seeing an ad, it's the sale starts with awareness and it takes a while to build that trust in order to convert the sale. So one thing, I'm going to pull up a little whiteboard here if you guys.
Love it. Oh, this is getting interactive, guys.
Oh, yeah, I love it.
Okay, so one of the biggest things that can help you uncover your fear of selling. What is the biggest part of closing a deal?
Asking for the sale.
Yeah.
Like, how can I get you to get this?
Actually closing the deal. Well, I think the biggest part of closing a deal is losing the deal. It's becoming comfortable with losing the deal. Like we talked about the middle six. Eight people are going to say no to you. So it's okay to be rejected. I think that's the thing that people are scared of is that rejection.
Yeah, it's like it's a learning experience.
Yes. And the other thing is closing is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 letters. It takes 7 no's to get a yes. So for those people that aren't naturally comfortable like I am, constantly asking for the sale, attach that data point to it. You have to ask 7 times in order for someone to finally have the time to say yes and sit down and press click to be confident and ready to spend that money. So if you're making something and somebody really likes it takes some time to get comfortable spending their money. So I think it's more of an understanding that it's not personal. You are going to get rejected. and you're going to get rejected seven times before you even get your yes. So if you stop at that one, you'll never get the sale. I know that's a workaround way of answering your question, but
Yes. No, it's true though. I mean, Amy and I've talked about this recently. We both signed up. I'm not going to say what it is, but we both signed up for some little small price point membership thing for graphics and stuff. And you had said, Amy, my God, I have gotten so many emails from this person. I'm done with it. And I was like, you did? I didn't really find it that bad because it was like she was really pulling me in, you know?
Yeah, it
So.
didn't work on me. So I was like, unsubscribe. I'm not giving you my $7 a month.
But maybe it's because, Holly, you do need what she's selling and Amy
Right.
don't need it. So
Exactly.
I'm better than you, Holly,
Is
is what Lisa is saying.
that
Well, and
what
you got your, they got their no from Amy. Amy
Yeah.
unsubscribed.
Yeah.
Holly, you haven't unsubscribed yet. So there's still a chance.
Yeah.
I think people assume all the time in sales. They assume that the person is ghosting them. They're not ghosting you. They assume that they're harassing somebody. There's all these
Yeah.
assumptions. Make a process, stick to it, own it, and be comfortable with rejection. It's going to happen.
Yeah, you know, when I first started email list building, that was a thing. I was like, oh, they're gonna unsubscribe. I can only send this out once a month. And I was like, once a month, you're never gonna get anything out of this. You have to be like weekly with these people. Now I'm like, good, you're off my list. I don't have to pay for you as a subscriber. You're not
Right,
my audience. Yeah.
and again, even that, I oftentimes unsubscribe to things just because I'm sick of so many things in my
Yeah.
inbox. Like Land's End, I unsubscribe them. Guys, you've got my business forever. I'll always buy sewing from you. I don't need any more emails. I'll even pay
Right?
full price.
Yeah.
But then, like, I'm not even saying no.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah.
I think being sensitive about the no is a detriment.
Yeah.
Nobody's, no, this is not personal. It's a timing thing.
Yes.
It's a needs thing.
And so many people start out in the maker world as new business owners. It's such a good thing to hear, you know, that it's the no's are okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not always a no forever. It's no right now.
Yeah.
Very
Yeah.
true. Very true. I know for me, initially, I was always nervous, especially if I did in-person markets, similar to like a trade show that you do, Lisa, and being there and seeing people like rejecting you right in front of your face is way different than being rejected on Etsy, because I don't
Yeah.
know that you rejected me on Etsy, right? And so, like, what tips do you have for folks who want to feel like they're a sales superhero? In that kind of situation, when in natively inside they're like, oh, I don't want to do this.
Well, you're gonna have to have a sales process. Just because you built it and they're there, that's not gonna do it. You still have to do your job okay. So doing your job in sales means asking questions. I think if you have Amy, if you're showing up at an event with all of your things, you probably don't have all of your things.
Right.
You have a smattering of your things. You can change your things. So, there's the guy walking down Michigan Avenue with a big trench coat, and he opens it up and he's got watches and says, "Take a look, I'm not a crook." That's all he has. You have lots of other things. So if they stop and pause at your table, you can start a conversation with them and ask them questions. Talk about your own personal life, uncover some potential needs they might have. I think asking questions is one of the best
Yeah.
sales techniques in the world, and especially open-ended questions. As a maker, if you've got somebody standing in front of you, don't ask, "Do you like the blue or the red?" Ask, "What color are you looking for?" Don't limit them. Ask those super open-ended questions and uncover it. Maybe they don't say, "Which ones do you want?" Say, "How many would you like?" Get yourself in a position where you're actually helping them make a purchase that's the right purchase instead of a fast purchase.
So
Yeah.
going off of that, the whole not pushing, you're not really pushing things on them. You're more or less kind of just sort of creating that conversational, relationship with them. I really like that. I think that's a,
Curiosity.
yeah, I think that's such a great way of doing it. So what are some more examples of like genuinely starting those conversations? Like what are some like things like a maker could do at a market besides asking about the actual product to get a conversation going?
Yep. So part of my sales process for 10 years in retail was my opening line. So my sales process included 5 steps. It was establish a relationship, develop clients' needs, showtime demonstration, trial close, and then close the deal, and then what's next? Okay, so the first thing I had to do with every single client, and if I skipped it and ran right to the close, my chances of closing the deal were nothing. You have to start at the beginning. So the first thing is establishing a relationship. So my opening line was, I lived in Arizona at the time, but I was from Wisconsin. It was, you enjoying this weather out there today? And it didn't matter what kind of day it was. My next response was, well, I'm from Wisconsin, so I'm in heaven, or I'm used to, or blah, blah, blah. And that showed me as a human being and not just somebody trying to sell them something. It shared a personal detail from my life that put me as a normal human being. So I think, making sure that the person is aware that you are a human and not, a used car salesman. And I'm sure there's amazing used car salesmen out there that are just trying to sell you a good car, but there's a stigma attached to it. So first of all, level set the playing field.
Yeah, how can small business owners make sure that every single sale feels more like a high five moment for a customer rather than just like that transaction, like that sale that you're talking about? I know we talked about conversation starters, but
But like the whole like customer experience with you.
yeah.
Yeah, I think collecting feedback is important. Receiving the feedback is important. Going above and beyond is important.
Me and Amy
So
struggle sometimes
we
with
got a
feedback.
good story. So Holly and I, whenever we get a weird Etsy review, we'll like screenshot it and send it to each other. And we were actually going back and forth on what I received today. Where if someone complained about a burnt smell, well, it's wood that has been laser cut, so it's gonna smell like it's been burned. And then anger about how long it took and how much it cost to ship when this was someone who was in the UK ordering a very small item from me in the US. And so it's going to take a while. And you paid the money. And it was just funny because right after that review on this item, I got a 5-star review that was like, this is amazing. I love it. Everything is perfect. And I was like, what? What was the difference?
Well, I have really good news for you. First of all, your intentions are good. You took that feedback hard because you want to please your customers.
Right.
Right. Guess what? I will bet you any money that the next person you have from the UK, you're going to do a better job forecasting. You're going to say, just so you know, it can take longer than normal when you're outside of the UK. So you've learned your lesson. You're improving your business. As far as the burnt smell thing, everyone's very different. Everyone's sensitive. Maybe that's another thing that helps you improve your process. Now, maybe you've added a disclaimer that says,
Yes, I did. I added a disclaimer today to everything, in addition to my other
Exactly.
disclaimers that I learned from other interactions.
Exactly. So sales is constantly teaching people.
Yes.
It doesn't matter what you're making, it's your baby, your specialty. You have to teach people. Doesn't matter what you're selling, you're teaching people about your product. So you learn lessons along the way.
You do.
You're not going to always be the best, but the biggest part of the deal is losing the deal. And losing the deal means losing with class too. So that bad review you got, it's how you respond to that review that gets you more business.
That's a good point.
Yeah, I think we learn a lot. And you can have all the things spelled out for the customer that you think they're going to need to know, but there's always going to be one or two that slip in and you're like, "Oh, okay. Yeah. I need to change this, or I need to, figure out a different way to explain it." So, yeah.
So, Lisa, with sales and, small creative folks, do you have any tips on how to like get out there, especially when it's not someone who has come to you? It's not as passive of a sale where you have to, maybe you're stopping at a business because maybe you want to get them to use you for their next, giveaway. Tchotchke thing or whatever. So it's kind of that cold sale.
Or
How can you?
like a partnership with like a realtor or something like that.
So how to find those partnerships or how to act when you have the opportunity.
I think how to address that when you have that opportunity, how can you work to feel confident in yourself and your work?
Well, first things first, do you in your heart of hearts know it's an awesome solution? And how did you get there? And then tell them how you got there and why it's the best solution. So this is not different from a proposal in the corporate world. People don't care about what you know until they know that you care. So if you're going to present something for an opportunity like that, I'm sure you did your research. So don't come in talking about yourself. Come in talking about them. This is what I know. This is what I heard. This is what I see. Based on that, this is what I do, and this is how I can help. So don't start conversations hot about yourself because nobody cares. No offense. Start the conversation with what you know about them.
Very interesting. So, okay. So, say a lot of people in the laser world do try to partner in the corporate world as well with real, like I said before, realtors is a good example. A lot of times they like to be able to provide them with things like, first time home buyer gifts or, the gift a
Closing
realtor would
gifts.
present. Yeah, closing gifts and that kind of thing. So, if somebody is looking to jump into that kind of thing, which can be very cringy for somebody like myself, I'm like, I don't want to have to go out there and find those people, but it's such a great way to get your product out there. Are there any ways to make that a little less painful? Other than, I know you said how you make you ask them or you tell them about them, but how can we make that less hard, less scary?
So part of what I do with clients at the beginning of any sales project is I interview their top three favorite customers they've ever had, and I interview their top three dream customers they've ever had. So I might suggest reaching out to a realtor that you know and love and pick their brain for 30 minutes. Ask them how realtors like to be approached. What opportunities are there where realtors come together? What is the budget of a realtor? What have you seen other vendors do really well? So do some fact finding and research before, presenting to that crowd.
That's smart. Yeah. Always research.
It always comes back to that.
A big part of sales is research.
Well, okay, so let's go into measuring success as a salesperson. So how can we make sure that our sales goals really aren't just about making bank, but more so staying really kind of true to our visions and our values and our mission and all that?
Well, not everybody's in it for the money. So I think, first of all, you have to determine what your goal is. Is it money? Is it a certain dollar amount? Because we can do that and we can back it into. Some people are in it because they want more time with their families. So, maybe we need to be talking about a higher margin and a more niche product. So I think, first and foremost, it's really identifying what's most important to you. And then we can back our way into that goal.
There are people who it's both, or even maybe
Oh,
it's all of the above. I mean, yeah.
Well, and that's something Holly and I have talked about a lot is that you need to value your own time and that you may not be your own ideal customer, and that's okay, right? And so we've definitely discussed that, how Maybe you need to price things a little bit higher and sell less items, but have a higher margin. And then you're doing less work for the same amount of money, right?
Exactly. Yeah, what's your goal and then back it up and then figure out what it needs to take to get there.
Besides usual like sales numbers, what signs should we look for to know that we're like killing it at sales, besides just numbers?
Well, that's a really good question. Are you enjoying going to work every day? do you like not have the Sunday scaries? There's all those things. Man, what else could I measure? I mean, obviously your reviews, those speak volumes, other than money. I'm gonna put that back on you guys. What do you think?
No, I agree. I think it's when you hear the reviews, but not just a review, but like when somebody personally reaches out to me, like through a message on Etsy or through my website or whatever, and tells me a story about how this item helped their autistic son and it's helping them do this or that. And then just hear, I didn't have the best experience with this seller, and I'm just so happy that this worked out this way, or that you were accommodating and what have. Like that just validates me so much, just to hear those stories. And they don't have to make it a review. It's just that personal conversation that does it for me.
I had a situation recently where someone received one of my popular items as a Christmas gift. And like late January, I get an order and I recognize the name because the product is something that has a name like personalized on it. And it was a unique name. So it kind of like I noticed in my order queue the name. And when I sent her a proof, she responded and without me saying anything, said, I got one of these as a gift for Christmas and I loved it so much I had to buy two for other people.
Yeah, those are nice.
I was like, this, I love that. That made me cry a little, and nobody
Yeah.
else knew that.
Yeah.
That one sale got me two more.
The best kind of business is referral business. There's no
Oh, yeah.
client acquisition cost on that. It is pure profit, baby.
Do you have any tips on things people could do for that kind of referral business? I know a lot of people will put things in their packaging. Any other tips?
Well, first of all, you have to ask for it. You have
Yeah.
to be, one of the things, Amy, I don't know if you remember this, but Amy did all of my clients' gifts 2 years in a row now, because she makes the most beautiful ornaments. And as I'm packaging up these ornaments, I'm taking them out of her packaging and packaging them into my own pretty packaging. And I'm like, well, how are they going to know that this is Connie Squirrel? So I suggested she put a little sticker on the back that, is there permanently.
And do you know what I have 3,000 of now? Tiny little, like half inch stickers with my logo on it. And I have been
Love
putting it on everything ever since you told me that. I was like, oh my gosh, Amy, why? Why? Duh.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's lots of different ways to get referrals. It's making a good quality product. It's going above and beyond. It's a beautiful customer experience. But you also have to ask for the sale. So it is, if you want to talk about that, what's next? Remember, my last step in the sales process is after you close the deal, what's next? So what is next? Do you have an email marketing campaign to ask for referral business? Do you have a referral program where they get points towards more things? I mean, I think there's a lot of different creative ways for you to gain more business. I mean, I think affiliate marketing is huge right now. Use your fan base as your sales team and pay commission. So, I think referral business is the best business, and it's especially best when it comes from authenticity.
Yeah, and I think so many people in the maker business, once the sale is done, they don't really do anything else other than it, maybe if the customer reaches out or says something. But that's really smart to include that in part of your workflow, like a follow-up. Hey, how's this going? One of the things, we've talked about on our show is SEO and how it helps drive more traffic to you. And reviews are huge with SEO. And so just ask that next step. Hey, could you leave me a review? Is there anything I could do differently? Is there something else you'd like to see? Just starting that conversation is like, multiple folds here. It's just the review, the next step, and
Yeah, and I think it goes back to that seven no's to get a yes too. You can't just ask once. If you want a bunch of reviews, you have to, they will say no if they don't want to do it. But you have to be persistent because every single one of us, you cannot tell me that you get to every single email. You don't drop any balls. Like, nobody's ghosting you. Follow
True.
up. A lot of us are kind of crazy people where we love persistent and creative follow-up. So if you can convince me to do something for you, I'm excited about it. I love a good sales email. I love a good cold call. Like I think your perception of what people are comfortable with is your own perception. And you have to remember that everyone is so different. Like especially the conversation you guys had. Like Amy hated all the messages. You love them. So that's standard. Doesn't surprise me.
I've got to get better about follow-ups, I think, after sales are done, after something's gone out. I think some people are afraid of it because they're worried they are going to get something negative back from them. And I'm like, but that's a chance you take, and
80% rejection.
it could, 80% rejection, and who knows, it could lead you to a next another sale. Who knows? So yeah, something I'm definitely going to start trying to do better.
Yeah, I think that's a really good tip. And kind of speaking of that, like rejection and how to handle that, do you have any tips for how to maybe give yourself a pep talk when you've had one of those rejections, or you just feel like you totally bombed the pitch?
Yeah, I sometimes feel like I totally bombed the pitch, but that's not always the case. I think you have to give yourself some grace. One of the other things I think is a really powerful tool is the power of positive thinking and the law of attraction. What you put out is what you will get. I've lived my entire life like that. I remember watching The Secret on Netflix. Really corny documentary, the worst, but the message behind it is incredibly powerful and absolutely valid. Your vibes people can read and they can feel. So if you get rejected, you have to figure out a way to recalibrate, or you need to cancel your next appointment because you're not going to win the next one if you're coming from a lost one. Get good at
Man, that sucks.
But also and it takes time. It takes time, like you said, losing and getting through those. The more you lose, the better you get at it. And
Right.
rejection.
I've become so good at sales and the rejection face there that I can't even date anymore because I know what I'm.
You're like, nah.
No,
That's
I
good. I'm good.
don't have time for that 80% rejection.
I
No,
love
that's
it.
swear. That's a lot of swiping too. And you got two little kids. Well, and another promise is I've gotten so good at selling. I feel like I can sell any guy into dating me. And then I'm like, wait, I never wanted you in the first place.
Is so funny.
Oh, yeah. And then it's all about closing that deal. And then you're like, wait, I
How do
didn't
I get out of
figure out if
this?
I really wanted this.
Wait, was I the right solution?
I love that. I love it. Do you have any other tips or, I guess, just like experiences to share that might help people who are small makers, trying to maybe do this full time when they haven't been?
That's a big
I
question.
know.
Thank you. Like, how am I supposed to answer that? I have stories on stories on stories for days. Yes. So come to my sales boot camp. I'll teach you how to do it. I'll teach you a ton of tricks. I do a really great, if you're local, or I do virtual options where I'll teach you all the core competencies of sales possible.
Well, I've attended it and it's really good.
It's a fun day. I've shared with you some of my sales tattoos. If you don't ask, you don't GET. Another sales tattoo is the ancient art of negotiation. He who speaks first loses. That's a powerful tattoo on my body. You should laser cut that onto something. Maybe I should laser cut things onto something instead of my body. Amy,
Or
maybe
both.
you could brainstorm that.
Yeah, I could just make you a sign, and anytime you get a good saying, I'll put it on it and I'll just hold the sign until the next one.
We could put like a little ornament on it, like it could just add to them.
Yeah.
Like hang tags. Yes, Holly.
Yeah,
Yes.
that's what you need, and then you just add each new one to it. Your
Done, Amy.
wall of wood tattoos is what we'll call
Okay, I love that. A, make it
it.
happen. B, because this example is giving us two things here. First off, I'll finish up my ancient negotiation tactic, he who speaks first loses. So this goes with price. Let's talk about price for a second. So what you think is expensive is different from everyone else. Everyone has different budgets. So I think one of the biggest things I see everyone do is bulk on their price. So if you're at a show and you've got a thing and somebody comes by and says, how much is that? 10? Or I mean, you could give me 7, like stop. You are worth what you price your item as. You worked hard to make that. It doesn't matter if it's your side hustle. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're doing this for fun. If you want to price it for $15 and sell it for $15 and think it's worth that, then you sell it for $15. I think that is a huge thing. And you smile when you say that price and you don't say anything else. Oh, that ornament is $15. That gives buyer confidence. It gives them the opportunity to say, what a deal. Or, can't afford that. I only have $13. Then you can decide if it's worth negotiating. This is negotiation. A good negotiation, everyone walks away uncomfortable. If they buy at the price that you give them and you are willing to negotiate, then it wasn't a negotiation, it was a transaction. So I think there's a lot to unpack with that little phrase.
Well, and so often we'll hear people in our industry say, oh, well, I can't get that price in my area. And so they just sacrifice it. I'm like, but have you tried? Have you tried?
Yeah, so I'll tell you a story. It's actually my blog post this month or last month when I was brand new to sales. I was 21 years old. I was a new adult. I hadn't done much adulting or seen price tags of anything. I probably bought a $40 end table at IKEA and thought it was super expensive. So I sold furniture early on, and I sold whole homes and whole rooms full of furniture. And I would go out to somebody's house with an interior designer, and I would just walk around taking notes, and the interior designer would say, "What should we do here? What should we do here?" Blah, 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 blah. And they'd build out this room. So it was my job to take notes and sit quietly and present the pricing at the end for what the interior designer wanted to show them. So I remember one of my first big projects. I walked through the home and my interior designer kept going to other rooms and I was very scared. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is starting to get really expensive. I can see this. And they don't have any money. They're just this simple couple. I'm putting my own judgments onto, I'm projecting my own insecurities. So when it was time for the presentation, the interior designer hands me a list of items that she wants to need a price out to present to them. This is what she's going to show them. So on that list was a $500 pair of pillows. They were down-filled, fringe, high-priced fabric. And I said, I am not going to price this. There's no way they're going to buy $500 pillows. They're going to think we're greedy. They're going to think it's terrible. Blah, 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 blah. And she stopped me and she's like, stop. These are going to tie the entire room together. They're the perfect pillow. They're going to tie in the sofa and the rug and the art. And it's literally the piece de raison or whatever that word is. And I'm like, no, they're $500. No, So she forced me to put it on there. And this is how you're taught to present pricing. The total for this entire room full of furniture is $15,000. And you don't walk through it itemized. You just smile and wait for their reaction. And guess what their reaction was?
They were happy to
That's
leave.
it.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Here's our
You
credit
just,
card.
yeah. It's surprising how many people do that. Yeah.
So I walked to the credit card machine and I'm just like sobbing because I was so terrified and so like in my head about this. And I run their credit card and it goes through and I go back to the table and my designer is talking to them and they're telling her how they just sold their oil field in Canada.
Well, so they weren't the simple little folk that you thought they were.
And that was me assuming things. Had I taken the time to get to know them and ask more questions at the beginning and unpack that, that ticket probably could have been more than $15,000. And you know what? They probably wanted and needed more than that, but I was stopping because of my perceived money issues. So you can't project onto people. You have to allow them to stop you. I absolutely in their house could have been like, "And what about your bedroom? What about your dining room?" Like I'm the one who's like, "All right, we'll show you this." So you have to keep exploring and asking questions. Otherwise, you're doing a disservice to your clients.
With that comes just like being comfortable with being uncomfortable, right? It's, and that can be hard, but the more you do it, the easier it gets, right?
Yeah. And are you the one being uncomfortable or are they the one being uncomfortable?
Right. It's funny you say that. I worked in sales for a little bit, for a chain of like healthy furniture and mattresses and chairs, and I won't say the brand name of the store, but you probably heard of it. But I worked there, and it was a commission-based type of a place. And yeah, I mean, it was amazing to me. You could never judge a book by its cover, because I'd see somebody with a Cadillac Escalade pull up and balk at in a $10,000 mattress versus somebody who pulled up in a regular, Toyota, who was like, I want this zero gravity chair that's like $2,700. I mean, you couldn't judge, because you just never know.
That is a huge sales lesson, is you absolutely can't judge anybody. There's another story. I was in a room full of dudes in suits. Every one of them was in a black suit and tie, except for this one guy in the back of the room wearing a leather jacket, some crappy jeans, and everybody was ignoring him because they thought he was poor and lost and homeless. But I love an outlier and I learned early on not to judge. So I went right up to him and I said, "Hey, how are you?" And engaged in conversation and just chatted with him. And it turned out he was the decision maker for Harley-Davidson and he was just in uniform. So everyone else in that room lost out and I got an opportunity for this incredible opportunity with a big company because I didn't judge him by what he was wearing.
Yeah. One of my best customers was a truck driver. I loved it.
I had
Yeah.
a farmer once. I showed him, this was back in the furniture days. I showed him like a $50,000 package full of furniture. And he looked at it and goes, "Great, I'll be right back." And he left the store. And I'm like, "What just happened? Is he coming back?" Blah, blah. The guy comes back 30 minutes later with a tin coffee container. I'm thinking like this is like the old days in a movie. Opens it up. He literally pulled out $25,000 in cash from a coffee jar that he had dug up from his yard.
Oh
Just
my.
because that's how he did his money. I'd never
Love
seen that much cash in my life. I
it.
know, but like everybody has their own personal
Yeah.
relationship with money, and you cannot project onto people.
Yeah.
You're only limiting yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. Every time I hear somebody say, I can't charge that in my area, and I'm like, but you haven't tried and you don't know. You know, that's my big thing. I would rather sell this thing for $22 and you're selling it for eight. And then I don't have to make as many, or maybe I am, you never know. And making way more than you.
Yeah, and you can only go down. It is much
Exactly.
easier to go downhill than it is to go uphill.
Yeah,
So
agreed.
start at 22, and if nobody's buying, go down to 21.
Yeah.
You
Yeah.
know, wait until you hit your market's sweet spot. Plus, if you underprice things, you're ruining the economy. You're screwing
Yeah.
up everybody else. You know, it's
Yes.
I had an ex-boyfriend who upholstered, and he charged so little that it was just ruining everyone else's business too. He
We
wasn't
see that.
making money, they were losing money. That's dumb.
Yeah, we see that in our industry often. People just undercharging. So it's like you just want to shake them and say, but we're all doing okay, doing more. So why can't, try, Yeah. That's such a fascinating way to think of it. So, okay, tell us what's the secret sauce for getting into the mindset where maybe sales feels more like a chat instead of that high pressure feeling of a pitch.
I think it's your intentions walking in. Are your intentions to sell something no matter what, or are your intentions to do the right thing?
Yeah.
Well, I think if you can walk into any moment, any conversation with somebody with just intentions of having a conversation and see where it goes from there, or not having any expectations, I think that's the mindset to be in.
And I think, that ties to niching. Like Amy and I've talked about niching a lot, like really niching down what you offer so that you can really be passionate about that item. And then it becomes more genuine. It becomes more, this is what I make. I'm not making all the things. I make this thing, and this is my way of feeling like this is what I feel strongly about. And this is why I think you might like this, and
I make
yeah.
this and I make it well, and this is
Yes.
why. So, I mean, I struggle with that too. There's so many other things I could give my clients.
Yes.
But every time I add something and it's not like stabilized or standardized, I'm not giving the greatest product or service. And that makes me look bad. It makes me not feel yet great. It makes me go out of scope. So, I think, you know, niching is an excellent thing to do. And a lot of us, like myself, I'm a maverick. I'm an innovative, outside of the box thinker who's undaunted by failure. So I have to constantly have that self-awareness that I need to stop shooting for the moon and really focus on the process and doing the right thing instead of, you know, using my superpower to get people excited about something that's not realistic.
Yeah. Yeah. I love how everything we've talked about this season feels like it's tying together.
I know. It's like we
I
planned it or something.
know. I know. You
Or are
never
you just
know.
doing the right thing?
We're doing, it's funny when we first talked about doing this podcast, we didn't have a ton of expectations going into it other than we just wanted to have fun and kind of do something like this. And as we've moved along with each episode, I feel like we've really built a purpose and like just that niche, that thing, and how we want to help people, and and whether it's two people listening to us or 200 people listening to us, we just still putting the same effort into it. And yeah.
Yeah, and that's what sales should be. It should be comfortable and it should be doing love and it should be for the right reasons. And if it does really well, it's because you're doing it right.
Yeah,
So,
agree. I like that. I do like that.
well, Lisa, thank you so much for joining us today to redefine sales and reshape the way we do business. I think, you know, we have a lot of good takeaways from this conversation. So, where can people find out a little bit more about you and your company?
My beautifully designed website for starters.
She's brilliant, isn't she?
Guys, I did her website. Okay. It's so good.
Themiddlesix.com.
Yeah.
Yeah, check it out. I'm on all the social channels as well. And Always happy to talk sales. We've got an upcoming boot camp coming up in a couple months if you want to join or get on the list for upcoming ones or just read our blogs. We're telling these fun stories and Amy's, capturing the SEO
Yeah,
and
there
being on
you
the
go.
website. So.
All right. Thank you so much, Lisa.
Yeah,
This was
Lisa,
really
thank you
great.
so
For
much.
having me.
It was very helpful and insightful. And yeah, we really do appreciate it.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.
Oh, that was super helpful. I really enjoyed listening to what Lisa had to share. So many insightful things. Again, if you're starting out in the maker business, the maker world, listen to what she has to say. Go check things out, because just because you sell online and maybe not in person doesn't mean you're not a salesperson. So it's super helpful.
Well, and your business isn't going to be successful if you're not
No.
bringing in revenue,
And
right?
I do want to say to people, like, you have to take the rejections. The more you do it, the more of a thicker skin you build to those types of things. And then find yourself an Amy that you can screenshot things and share.
Yes. You need that because that helps so much because
It does.
I'll feel like so much anxiety over getting feedback like that, and then I get angry.
But like, part of me doesn't care. Part of me doesn't, I don't give a F, you know? But
Right.
at the same time, I'm going to share it with you because it makes me feel better.
Right. And it's kind of like that misery loves company, and you want to
Yeah.
share it with someone else because you're like,
Yeah.
I just
Yeah.
don't, oh,
Yeah.
I don't
Yeah.
know.
This was fun. This was our last show of the season. And,
Yes.
you know, for those of you who may not have been with us from the very beginning, maybe you're only listening to certain episodes or you're just listening to this episode. We are going to come back in the summer. We don't have a date yet. We still have to think about like topics and all that good jazz, but we need a break. We need a little bit of a break. We're
Yes,
going to
we
be
do.
getting ready to probably hit. I think everybody's finally starting after Easter, all the spring break stuff starts ending, and then the more Mother's Day teacher appreciation starts rolling
Right.
in. So this is a good timing for us all. But, you know, this has been insightful because, as you know, I said in this episode with Lisa how, as we went through each episode, it was like we were really starting to find who we were and what we were really doing. Like our topics got a little bit more, you know, insightful. Not that they weren't all insightful, but you know, it just felt like we were really like figuring that out.
We
So
were getting a better laser focus.
we love the
I'm just saying. But I do feel that that is kind of every episode we've gotten a little bit more confident in, pulling together our research or bringing in a special guest. I know
Right.
that's something we're looking at for next season is some opportunities to bring more guests on. And they may not be people in the industry. I mean, like Lisa is not in the maker industry,
Right.
but her message and what she can talk about is something that every small business owner, whether you're a maker or not, can benefit from.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so like if you're listening and you think you have something to bring to the table, pitch it to us. Sell
Yeah.
us.
Sell us, follow Lisa's tips, and sell us on you.
Yeah. So since we've been going through oh gosh, we're ending this, you know, season. What episode was probably one of your favorites this season?
Oh gosh.
I know, like it's like you kind of have to like go back and think about which ones
Right.
were out there.
I think I really liked the conversation about AI, and I know that was just
Yeah.
last week. But I just finished editing it, and I just think it's so in the beginning stages of what it's going to be. And, it's one of those technologies that people get really nervous about,
Yeah.
but I think sometimes you just gotta try.
Yeah.
And I thought it was really helpful. And, the things that Jake shared, from
Yeah.
like the programming and data analysis standpoint, I think were really beneficial. So I really liked that.
Yeah, we learned. I feel like I learned something from that one versus the other ones where I kind of feel like I already had a background in them that I was sharing. So sometimes it's nice when you get to be the one learning from the episode too. And so I kind of feel the same way about that one. You know, we started out with deal talking about mansplainers and Facebook groups
Right. And raccoon milk.
and raccoon milk to, you know, going into the really important things of your business with SEO and with AI and
And
just,
landing pages
yeah,
and
we just, yeah, we really, really took it into a lot of different areas that could certainly be expanded and talked about even further. And so, yeah, it was quite insightful, I think. So, and
yeah.
I hope that I hope everybody who's listened, we hit that 500 mark. Yay.
Yay.
I thought that was
500
funny.
downloads. We got a little like confetti in our inbox.
Yeah, so that was kind of fun to see.
Yeah.
But you know, hopefully we gain some more listeners and we're helping them, you know, in some
Yeah,
way. We're not annoying.
absolutely. Right. We don't want to be annoying, but we do want you to listen and to subscribe and to go to
Yes.
lattesandlasers.com and, you know, buy us a coffee or shoot us a message with an idea for a topic for next season or a coffee for next season. You know.
Yeah, and also I think we've got some plans for some little things via social media that we'll put out here and there. I don't think we're going to
Yeah.
go crazy. Just some things we talked about wanting to name our top 10 coffees, and you know, there's some other fun social media trends we might try to jump on and do a few things too, just to keep things active so you don't forget about us.
Yes, don't you forget about me
Don't
and
forget about
Holly.
me.
No, don't
Please
forget about
don't.
us. We don't want you
No.
to do that.
Exactly.
All right.
Well, I really enjoyed it. I had fun doing this. And
Yes, I did
as
too.
soon as we know a date that we'll be back, we'll certainly announce it on our social media channels,
Yes.
our schedule for the summer. So,
As Holly said, we needed a break, and I think this was a good breaking point for us, both with where we've come this season. But also just where we are in our businesses. I know my business has started picking back up as we look ahead to Mother's Day, teacher appreciation, end of the school year, all of that. So I think it'll be good to have a little more time available, for that.
yeah, agreed. Totally agree. So, yeah, head over to our site, check it out.
All right. Holly, it's time for our last cheesy sign-off of the season.
Okay.
Okay. All right. I just laughed at it.
I haven't
Because
read it yet.
I read the first part I have to say, and I was like, oh, that's dumb.
I try not to read it.
Yeah. Okay. Time to espresso ourselves out of here and brew up some new laser-sharp adventures.
Ooh, until next time, let's keep our coffee cups full and our laser beams focused.
Ain't that the truth?
Let's keep our lives focused. Laser
Yeah.
focused. I
But,
love it. I'm gonna miss the cheesy sign-offs for a few months, but
well,
you
maybe
know.
I'll just randomly text you.
Oh, I love it.
Maybe I'll, because
I like that.
my Chat GPT conversation has a lot that I
Oh.
have not used.
Oh
I
gosh.
legit probably have 300 of them
Oh,
in.
that's even better.
So maybe I'll do that and then we can laugh about them because some of them are really bad.
It's like when I try to come up with topics for our titles or titles for our shows. Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, this has been fun,
Anyway,
Holly.
it
Thank
has been
you.
fun. You're welcome. Yeah, thank you.
All right. Thanks, everyone.
Bye.
This episode of Lattes and Lasers is brought to you by The Laser Collective. Unlock the full potential of your laser cutting and engraving business with our user-friendly laser files. Our carefully designed laser files are tested for quality and are commercial-friendly files, ensuring you can easily create beautiful projects that will impress your customers and drive profits for your business.
Learn more at thelasercollective.com. Save 10% off your next order at thelasercollective.etsy.com with promo code LattesAndLasers10.